boo doo beep. I'm beep boop boo doo beep. I'm beep boop boo doo beep. I'm beep boop boo doo beep.
It's the Daily Offcast.
I just met you. So scoop me, maybe.
Daily Offcast.
I all fucking forgot the lyrics.
Great song. It's the Daily Offcast. I almost said Daily Cast. We can't do this.
We can't take that.
But I didn't. We can't get sued. We're good. The final Daily Offcast? I'm terrified. I think we have 3 cards left. But what if we forgot one? I feel like we'll get called out and we'll have to do another one. But I feel like we did these all.
I mean, we'll get called out. We won't have to do another one.
That's true. That's true. You get what you get.
We can do whatever we want. True. That's great. All right. So we've got the 3 HB cards. Were these spoiled by anyone specific, or were these ones that just popped up on NetRunnerDB at the end there?
I think these 3, Salvo Testing was part of that initial card fan. But yeah, I think they just all got dropped when the cycle released.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no attribute in there.
All right. So we got the 3 HB cards here. 2 agendas and an ice. The first one is Salvo Testing. It's a 5-3 security agenda. It says, when you score an agenda, including this one, you may do 1 core damage.
The may is nice. Maybe don't feel like taking some Essa sabotage.
You know, it's not, you don't have absolute power until you have the option not to exercise it, you know?
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, core damage is, sure, is good. Is it, you know, in the history of what 5-3s do, is it good?
I mean, basically every 5-3 that's not defensive has been pretty bad in the history of Netrunner.
Correct.
But, I mean, at least at, like, the very competitive level of play, I've seen, like, the not, like, just the aggressive ones, like Priority Requisition, for example, did really, really well at, like, not the highest levels of play. It, like, almost, like, insanely good, because you'd get, like, an archer off of it, and then you just, like, guaranteed score your next 2 agendas.
Right.
So, I don't know. I do like it existing in the game, and I like that it triggers off of every subsequent agenda score as well.
Yeah, I feel like the dream is alive with this, right? You score this, and then you score your 3 bifurcations you had in hand, and you're at 4 core damage, and it's like, well, good luck.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I also think,
yeah, is that happening?
I think the biggest thing is you've got this fundamental early, like this is really good super early, right? So you throw down, like, 2 pieces of gear check ice, or even just 1, and you say install advance, and the runner has to respect it, whereas normally they absolutely don't. They're just like, you can just have your NGO, you can have your 3-point agenda that you over advanced if that's your jam, but, like, right, not a big threat. But something like this becomes a very serious threat, and they have to respect early advances. So the question is, are there things that combo with that? NGO front is really good. Yeah. Traps are really good.
I think this is almost better in, like, a startup context, because it gives you more choice for what the agenda density in your deck is going to be, right?
You mean because they're lacking in that so much? Because
there's not a lot of 5-3s in startup.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it's good, but, you know, it's the option.
I think also you got to consider the combo with what's that agenda that gets easier with core damage?
Oh, yeah. It's got a hell of a name.
Ontological Dependence.
That's it.
So if you score this, your Ontological Dependence becomes a 3-2. You then biotic out the Ontological Dependence. It does another core damage because of the Salvo Testing. And now you can just score your next Ontological as a 2-2.
Yeah, this wins you a game, basically.
So that's a pretty... It definitely, you know, if you score this and then you get a brain damage, core damage through some other avenue too, then both of your ontologicals are now 2 and 1 respectively. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's the style of deck, which hasn't really been seen in HB much, at least recently, but like mostly in Wayland, where, you know, you got the Drudge work, you got your Spin Doctors, you got all these ways to like bottom back agendas.
Yeah.
You know, NBN will do this too with, not News Team. What's that newscaster desk one?
Daily Business Show?
Daily Business Show. Just bottom their agendas until you have a board state you're ready to score them. Something like this might work with this if you could score the 5-3, which we know you can score the 5-3 with wage workers, right? So if HB gets to a point where they're really able to craft their board state the way they want and then start slamming out agendas, I mean, yeah, it'll definitely be
wow.
Good then, but yeah, you need all the pieces of Exodia to get
oh my gosh, that's so good. We did the math on the wage workers, and if you do subliminal greasing the palms, biotic, that'll trigger wage workers and give you a fourth click. Install your 5-3 triple advance. Oh no, so that leaves you with
the
four.
Greasing installs the agenda, right? So you're
Greasing installs the agenda. So then you triple advance, you get another trigger of the wage workers, and you can score a 5-3 out of hand with a double wage workers trigger. Wow, that's a deck.
Yeah, you could also use red level in there too.
I didn't think I would like this card, but now that we've been talking about it, I get more excited.
It's like, but like, is it happening is the thing. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to try.
The dream is there. That's what I said. The dream is there, right? We can.
I like cards that are powered by dreams.
Me too. But I like this.
All right. What else do we got?
Next, we go.
Let's do ablative.
Oh, you know, okay. We'll keep the last agenda for last. Sure.
Yeah, we got to do the last
ablative
one last.
Ablative barrier. A barrier, as stated in the title. 2 cost. And it just has 1 subroutine and the run, 1 strength. Bad deal compared to an ice wall, which is just 1 for 1 strength.
It is infection, though.
This one, threat 3, when you res this ice during a run against the server, you may install 1 non-agenda card from HQ or archives in the router protecting another server, which is insane. That's so good. Like, they do a run and it's like, boop, just gonna bring back Rashida, gonna bring back Spin Doctor, you
trash. Oh my gosh.
From archive, like, from HQ would have been like, okay. From archives is amazing.
Yeah, no, from archives is insane. This card is insanely good.
Or protecting, like,
it only triggers on res. It only triggers on res, though. Yep. So it's like a one-time deal unless
you're doing derez shenanigans.
Unless you can find a way to consistently derez your cards.
Right.
It would have to be, I mean, do you think if there was a way to consistently derez like once per run, do you think that would be good? Or do you think that would be like,
historically, you want to keep your stuff rezzed. But you know, maybe this is a wild new world. I don't know.
What if ablative barrier just said, what if it had a res cost of 1 and then gave you this effect? And then you could do it every single time the server was run.
Cost of 1 would be twice as good as a cost of 2. That's how the math works.
But are you saying that an additional cost reduction of 1 would be infinitely better then?
Yeah, then if it was 0, yeah.
Well, it would be like a divide by 0 error, so we would break the universe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So
it's unmeasurable.
It's very good. Exactly. All
right, so like Ablative Barrier is a very cool card, I think. I think its effect is powerful enough to almost warrant derezzing potentially in the game. Being able to take back a card from archives is so good, and it's an early gear check.
Yeah, and it's just gear check, so it's good early, it's good late. It's like, this is very good.
So let's talk about Stegadon, because now Stegadon makes a lot more sense.
This is a cool tank.
It's a really cool tank. It's called Stegadon Mark IV. It's a 3-1 agenda, which historically are quite terrible in the history of Netrunner. They have to be justified by extremely powerful abilities. So this one says, each run, as long as a piece of ice has been derezzed during that run, each installed icebreaker gets minus 2 strength. Also,
wow, that's pretty good.
Whenever a run begins, you may derez one piece of ice, not protecting the attacked server. Oh. To gain one credit, use this ability only once per turn. Huh. So.
Maybe we could derez some ablatives.
So you derez your ablative, but it only works if it's on a different server than the server being run.
And you gain one during that run. Like, a credit now is better than... I don't know, that's true. Birds and bushes and stuff. Minus 2 is interesting here, because I don't know if you've been playing a little bit, but it seems like the default icebreaker suite is veering heavily towards the fixed strength breakers out of Anarch. So if you minus 2 those, they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's at the start, so they're at least encountering the first ice. I guess. You're not forcing them through the whole server, necessarily. But you you get one forced encounter at minus 2 strength, which is potentially enough to turn the game, honestly. And you get a sweet, sweet credit.
That's pretty... It's pretty good from an economy perspective, depending on how many ice you have. Being able to, you know, like you're basically getting a... you're basically paying whatever the cost of the ice you derezzed minus 1 because you get your credit back.
Yeah.
And then you get to minus 2 strength on all the ice. So, I mean, I could definitely see that being economically viable. It is kind of interesting, though, because the cheap ice needs to be on a different server. So you need this like weird mix of like cheap ice, which aren't going to benefit from this, but they are good for derezzing. And then also expensive ice, which benefit from this greatly.
Right. Huh.
This is a weird card. I'm pretty excited about it, though. Its idea sounds really cool.
I agree. Yeah, and, like, that's the thing about, like, the first half of the cycle, right, is, like, we don't know what's coming. Like, is there more stuff to support this? Because right now it's, like, it's interesting, but is it viable? I don't know. But, you know, does an HBID stack with this in a nice way? Maybe.
Well, we already have Architects of Tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, which you can have it. You could derez it at the start on another server. They pass the first Byroid and you just re-res it for free. Just
re-res it for free.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
I kind of like that. I think it's also worth mentioning that we have all of the Harmonic Ice.
Right? Like Pulse, I think, is the one that gives you a minus click when it's rezzed, right?
Yeah, when you rez this during a run against the server, the runner loses a click. Wave allows you to search R&D for a piece of ice and put it into your hand, and Echo just gets stronger.
Yeah, you don't want to derez Echo, but you want to...
Well, no, you do want to derez Echo. Oh, no, you don't.
No,
well,
it counts. Has to be raised to get its own counters, right?
Well, it counts itself, though.
Yes. Yeah, it depends
right?
on the point, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. You got a lot of... also, technically, Bloop synergizes automatically because it triggers the derez when you res it. So...
Right.
So, it doesn't... You don't get multiple stacks of negative 2 if you, for example, comboed Bloop with... the derez on Stegadon and getting 2, you wouldn't get minus 4 from 2 different derezes, but
no,
but it's an option.
Two Megadon score, then you could derez 2 other cards, and they're
you could, but you
minus 4.
It wouldn't. It says as long as a piece of ice has been derezed.
Oh.
Wait, do those stack?
I don't.
Oh
see
my
why
god,
they
no.
wouldn't stack.
Oh, you're right. Oh my gosh.
So you just have to derez 1, and you get minus 4.
Wow, that's actually kind of savage.
Yeah, and now I want to score 2 of these.
Oh my gosh, I like that a lot now. Oh my gosh. That's sick. All right, this is a pretty sick package of cards. I like it a lot.
I like it too, yeah.
Derezzing has always been like hideously bad in the history of Netrunner. Like, they print a card and you're like, why would I do this? I'm
but
literally...
I love derezzing. I love divert power.
Oh, is Isabel Maguire.
Isabel Maguire, an OG.
Oh, wait. Isabel adds the card to your hand.
Oh, that's even worse. Isabel, don't.
That's even worse. Oh, no. That's pretty good. Cool. All right. So those are the HB cards. So I was hoping maybe we could just do like a little mini review here and go just a little bit longer on our episode.
People love the longer episodes. I don't know why, but they do. Like an overall impression of the pack.
Yeah, tell me, give me your thoughts on this whole set now that we've seen all the cards.
It's hard to tweeze out what's part of the set and what's part of rotation and standard, to me at least. But I feel like the vibe, the tone of the game has shifted quite a bit, right? I feel like runners are very powerful, have a lot of pressure on the corpse, but running seems a lot more dangerous now in general. And not like end the game dangerous, but like unexpected consequences in the form of tags or damage or something else. There's a lot less certainty to runners. I think kind of the age of, and mostly Anarch, just, you know, going through all your cards, getting a big old stack of money, getting all your breakers in the bin, and then running is dead because the bin breakers are dead. But also because, you know, we have so much ice with these weird effects that interact strangely with one card or another. It's a very exciting time, I think. Paired with, you know, on the other side, like the de-escalation of the power of tags, because, yeah, now you've got two tags. I mean, maybe you're dead, but you're probably not. You're probably fine at two tags, but they could do a lot more stuff with those tags. So, very interesting time in Netrunner for me. It'll take a lot of figuring out, and I like the flow of the game now, because I think runners have this big incentive to be aggressive now, with hard-hitting news being out of the pool, right? They can't be automatically just like tagged forever. But at the same time, I've played a lot of games against mostly Epiphany, but like other NBN IDs where the tags are going to start stacking and you're not going to be able to clear them anymore. You don't have a historically very good tag clearing tool like Misdirection available anymore, or Citadel. So I think
now they're actually going to have to balance the tag design, because, you know, they can't just rely on these, you know, silver bullet cards existing in the meta to fix all of their design failures. Boom.
Calling out an MG. Oh, my God.
I can be
people listen to this for.
I've been saving it.
Oh, so I don't know. That's my general impressions. I'm a big fan. How about you?
Cool. So a couple things is that there were a couple notable reprints that were nerfs. I'm thinking Pivot being Consulting Visit reprinted, and it's it's really just saying like this is not as good early, which I think is probably good.
That's good, yeah.
And then also Opposition Research being a much worse version of Hard-Hitting News.
Right.
I like it a lot. I also like it being a card that exists and having a reason to exist, but having, I guess, just a different place. I think it costing 7 to play is going to be very, very meaningful compared to Hard-Hitting News. So I'm really pleased by that. So especially, the first thing was,
with Econ Warfare still existing, you know, it devalues Econ Warfare a little bit.
Yeah,
you still have to pay that huge amount to land those four tags.
Yeah, I mean, you still have you still have that one agenda.
Crypto Stonks or whatever.
Yeah. The artificial crypto crash. Is that right?
That's right. That sounds correct.
Runner loses 7 credits. That's a savage thing. So I really like that they reprinted some cards, and I think that they added some restrictions. I don't know how meaningful, like, gating things behind the threat mechanic. I don't know how meaningful that's going to be. Let's talk about threat a little bit, because I think this is probably one of the biggest sort of things in here, and there's a couple directions it's going to go. Like, first of all, you could be playing one of those corp decks that just plays a bunch of 5/3s, buries all your cards, never intends to score them, and then maybe leak one out. Notice how a lot I'm appreciating the value on cards that say threat 3 versus threat 4.
Oh yeah.
Because these decks now can really seriously abuse this threat 3. So like Pivot, for example, you just put a bunch of three pointers in your deck, you never intend to score them, and then when you leak one, the runner, you know, all your cards are now powered on, and there really wasn't much of a downside to the whole threat mechanic.
Right.
Or, you know, if you have to, you could threaten scoring one and turn it on yourself, which is also great. It's one kind of thing that is interesting to balance this out is you've got a little bit of the current kind of thing going on where you, if you turn it on for you, you turn it on for the runner as well.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So maybe that's going to make it okay. But I don't see a lot of these. I don't know how meaningful a lot of these threat effects are going to be. Maybe the idea of just sitting back and never scoring an agenda and just waiting for one to leak has enough risk associated with it that it's not a viable game plan, and the runner can literally just not run, and you have to go through all this work just to turn on your threat effects.
I think you're undervaluing the threat here, because I mean I'm thinking of the Eru Ayase Pesosa, which was in one of the first episodes. So if you don't remember, this is the Omar kind of replacement where you click, take a tag, run archives. At threat 3, you access an extra card off R&D, which is like, that's a game ender. That's a game ender. You're at threat 3, you are much more likely to lose a game there.
That is true.
So, I mean, yes, they're small effects and they can be played around, but like, when the shit hits the fan, it hits the fan, which is like threat is a great name for that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. You've got like once the threat's on, the game is on.
Yeah, correct. You could take it slow, you could take it easy, and then boom, threat threshold reached. Like, you got to be on your toes.
Escalate through the mid game. Do you feel like Netrunner?
Yeah.
Do you feel like Netrunner had like a problem kind of like stalling out in the mid game? I feel like, if anything, it has a problem stalling out in the early game or the late game.
I think stalling early game was a big thing, especially with like credit denial crim, right? There would be,
oh gosh, you know,
in the age of 419 and like, doofs. I mean, you know, if you were a corp and you didn't run enough econ in your deck, you would just be clicking for credits for like 6 turns in a row, because they would go in, they would take your money, you would click up, they would do a couple other things, you'd try to res them, like you would be broke all freaking game. Which is still true, which is, I mean, that can still happen, sure. But oof. I think we've seen generally on both sides much better econ and much better like bounce back options for econ. So at least from my play, I feel like I've never spent less turns clicking just for credits. I'm not clicking for credits nearly as much as I once was.
You said it correctly, yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
Well done.
I love it when I can talk. Maybe I'm better at Netrunner? Probably not, though. I think it's mostly a card pool thing, which gives... which gives you more options on, you know, low credits, and they're incentivizing low credit running, right? Like with all these aggressive events, also the removal of hard-hitting use, you know, they want it to be a dynamic game where you're running early, you're running often, and the corp has to respond to that. And the corp, consequentially, I feel, has much better econ than it once did. at least more like spread out, because you'd have like these hyper econ decks, and I don't think those really exist as much anymore. What were those? Well, like, I'm thinking like, not Jemison. What was the other space one? Like deep Lucent? Space, Gagarin deep space, where you have 3 billion credits at like turn three.
I mean, and that's not even what mattered.
No, exactly. But I mean, it didn't matter because you'd eventually get more money than a runner. There's
credits need to matter, as Damon famously said.
There we go. Damon. He knew stuff. He knew stuff. He didn't know it all, but he knew
he
stuff.
He didn't. There's some things he didn't know. There are some things he did.
There's things we didn't know. We still haven't done the math on HB.
So this is kind of interesting because it, at least for the startup format, it's definitely bumping up the complexity pretty significantly. Mm. I know that that was like the first couple sets, that was their design, was to keep that low. I am actually pretty excited to kind of move into more advanced designs in startup. I also think that there were a lot of sort of restrictive things. I think the Anarchy Con was basically restricted to Hoshiko, and everyone else was getting squashed. So it looks like not Ed, Renee, Lou is getting a bunch of tools to kind of buff him up, which I'm excited about. A
lot of trash. Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
It seems like they kind of put multi-access, like they spread it out a little bit more. Made it a little bit more available to people. So like you said, you've got Eru, Ayase, Pessoa giving you multi-access through the archives run. You've got Mercury. I like that there's multi-access a little bit more available. I think that is a critical part of like Netrunner scaling. Like absolutely. If you're going to scale as a runner, you kind of need multi-access. And so not taxing everybody from having to bring it from out of faction is cool, and giving everyone their own flavor is really nice as well.
Yeah, I think it makes deck building like a lot better because like you're not forced to be like, oh, I need a decoder. Okay, I need to earmark this much for this one, right? I need multi-access. Oh, yeah. I gotta
go get that.
Oh, not right now. I don't need to get that. This is more important. you're a lot more freeform in deck building, I think, with having options in faction for everything.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to splash for econ out of faction because your faction has econ. Maybe it's not the econ you want, and then you can splash, but you don't have to, which is nice.
Yeah, super good. Love it. The other thing that I really like is, so this is kind of like the Trojan set. And originally that was something pretty restricted to Anarchs. But I think Trojans are a very cool, interactive way to play the game. Just like fundamentally, like I get the super powerful ability, but it is tied to your card and therefore subject to, you know, being removed if your card, they are now bound. They live and die together. And like, that's a really cool interaction.
Not just Trojans, but also like limited use icebreakers is something I've always loved. That's something where, because traditionally, you know, you get your three flavors of icebreakers and then you go, and like maybe you win, maybe you don't win, I don't know. But now it's like a lot more of them are disposable or conditional, and in a way that's actually good. Like we always had those floating around, but they're never they were never good enough, right? But now it's like you look at Slap Vandal and you're like, damn, I'll play that. But like,
It reminds me of Marjana.
Right.
So Marjana was a criminal icebreaker, and it was zero to install and then one strength, and it boosts for one. And then it says it costs 2 credits to break a barrier, but if you made a successful run already, it only costs 1. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like it feeling so good and then like actually losing me games against certain decks, because you're just like, oh, I can't make runs anymore because I can't.
Yeah.
because it's like I have to get through two brands. Okay, I lose.
Not happening. Yeah.
One kind of problem with Netrunner is that I feel like the good icebreakers existing will always warp the game design sufficiently to make conditional icebreakers bad, because it's like you could play Corroder, which is great and it'll always be great, and you can't make ice too weak because then Corroder will get through them too quickly. So that basically the icebreakers existing inform the ice design. The ice design then restricts other icebreakers. And so it's kind of this power level warping situation. And so we figured out that we got to get rid of the good icebreakers and, you know, to add some diversity.
Bank our band. Not bank our. Something. Bugalter.
Oh, yeah. And right? that's probably always going to happen. Anytime a really good icebreaker comes out, it's just going to warp the whole game.
Yeah. If it's like a head above all the other ones, yeah, sure, man. It, same for ice though, right? Like they looked at Tithonium and they were like, it's a little too much, right? Oh, with the options we have now for breaking it, it's going to be too much. So preemptively, I'm okay with it.
Better to die a hero than to become the villain.
Exactly. Oh my god.
I think that's fair. The last thing are you eating?
Yeah, my wife brought me some poutine. I have to.
Oh my gosh, eat it while it's hot. All right, well I'll go. So then the last thing was I was really impressed by the tag interactions, like you said. I like tags being less binary, a little bit more consistent, and basically just printing tag effects on already good cards that everyone has. Yeah. I think is going to tip the needle in favor, just enough maybe. I always thought that taking cards and putting trash costs on them as a way of like balancing them out, like, has never really been, it was a really cool idea, but I never felt like it was a super good balancing decision because there were always ways to get it out and search for it, kind of completely negating the effect. And also cards that are like really, really good with like a really, really bad downside are always just going to either be not played, or they will be played for their upside and then have their downside mitigated. Like if you can figure out a way to mitigate their downside, then you're just going to play them for their upside. And it doesn't balance it really, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
I like the new ones.
I also like the new ones. Yeah. Overall, like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, I think I've said this before, but none of the cards here are like, I like Drago, where you saw Drago and you're like, what the hell? Like, how am I going to play this game with this card existing? They all have upsides and downsides. And I think that makes it a really interesting set.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm pretty excited by this set. I've really enjoyed what I've seen.
Okay.
I think Wage Workers is going to be broken, though.
It might be. I always hated Jeeves, but they toned down the trash cost, so I might hate this less.
I think you're gonna hate him more.
Yeah, maybe. it does seem very flexible. Can we review the Daily Offcast?
You want me to review myself or review you?
Oh, we can do reviews for each other. No, I just thought you wanna do this for the next set. Or you?
I don't know.
I feel like you're pooped. I'm pooped too.
I mean, you know, committing to doing a daily thing every single day for, you know, 2 weeks is pretty hard. It is kind of funny that it kind of teaches you some new skills, like squeezing it in during lunch, right? Which is kind of fun. So I don't know. I had a good time. I guess we'll see what my life looks like when the next set comes out.
That's fair. I will talk to you with you. Oh my god, I will talk with you then, maybe then.
Cool, this has been a lot of fun, Phil. Thanks for having me on
Daily Offcast.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
having
no,
me on, as if you're not doing like all the recording.
That's fair, but it's going on your channel.
Oh sure, yeah, I get all the glory. Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Anyways. Well, it's been a lot of fun, Phil.
A lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. I've had a lot of fun having you. We had each other.
Ah, that's so cute. I love it. Okay. I'll talk with you later.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.